and Ford.
Hey, everybody, welcome to America Tonight. I guess we're over the hump and we're heading to the finish line. Ooh, we can see the weekend not any longer in our rear view mirror, but actually in front of us. My name's Kate Delaney, and this is, again, America Tonight, coast to coast and all those cool nooks and crannies in between. We love our flyover states. I've lived in many of them. Nebraska, Illinois. I think I'm going to count New Mexico as a flyover state. I live there as well. Texas is kind of a flyover state, depending if you're going all the way to the west. But I think we're talking about more the Midwest and the South, the real soul parts of this country. Many of you hail from those areas where there's cantankerous, let's say, races going on. After all, pretty much everywhere, because all the House seats are up November 2nd, there are people that could be packing their bags and leaving Washington, and the newbies will come in. Some incumbents will get reelected, to be sure, but I think some familiar faces around the hallways of the Capitol are going to be gone. And it sends a clear message that people are tired of the same old thing. And I'll tell you, more now than ever, I feel that vibe. And I'm saying I feel it across the board. Not just from the hardcore conservative Republican pals of mine, but from the liberal friends of mine, because, of course, I've got friends on both sides of the aisle in my personal life, and they do nothing but yammer on and on about how frustrated they are. And so you know what I tell them? Exactly what I'm telling you. Pay attention to what's happening in your neighborhood. Get more involved. Listen to what's going on. Go to some of the city council meetings. It starts there. Listen to what's going on in the state. And, of course, when it comes to your representation, it's we the people, baby, and we can't all be there in Washington. So we have representation. Pay attention to that representation. Get involved. And maybe the right kind of people will get elected, or at least you'll be on the right track to electing the right people. Let's put it that way. I'm all for term limits. People argue that, well, I can't get this done. It's like I heard this crazy comment the other day from Harry Reid, the longtime senator of Nevada, who almost was kind of like apologizing at an event and saying, listen, I tried to do this and some of these things happened, but I just don't have enough time. I need some more time to finish up some of the things that I was starting. And I thought, wow, 28 years, almost three decades, that just doesn't wash anymore. And sure, you're one voice, one person, and you're fighting with everybody else across the aisle. I mean, how about actually reading the legislation? How about that? Take the big issues. It's like any company that's successful. They could go off in a zillion different directions. They could have 150 meetings where nothing gets done. But the smart people have very few meetings, have an agenda, look at what the top priorities are, and push away the rest until they can get to it, because it's not important. You get to the big ticket items. You want to get your return on your investment. It's time we get return on our investment in the people that we're sending to Washington. That's what I want to see happen. I want my return. And let's see some things pass where there's some thought, where there's some debate, but it's limited because people have read the legislation, not just their aides and the aide to the aide and the 22-year-old that just graduated from Harvard, who I'm not knocking, because luckily they have those people who can give them the cliff notes, meaning the person who's representing us. And if the agenda was based more on the important stuff and then filter it down, maybe there would be more things that would get accomplished and there wouldn't be as much of a log jam. This is why so often I push for the third party, because let's get some fresh blood in there. Let's come up with new ideas. Let's shake it up a little bit. Let's get people in there that are serious about trying to accomplish what can be done, you know, when you take votes, when you debate only so long, when you actually, again, read the legislation that's there and you don't push through so much pork that it's ridiculous. And then we go through and we wonder why. You look at how much money has been thrown out the window and you're stunned. You're absolutely stunned. Why did we spend millions to find out how flies mate or some crazy thing? I mean, there's books, volumes written about the waste. It's insanity, and the insanity needs to stop. Maybe we're on the right path. Maybe this will be the turnaround in these midterm elections. One can only hope. All right, let's roll on to some big news of the day. Actually, this was a big deal the other day, and now it's the fallout. You heard the story about Anita Hill getting the phone call from Clarence Thomas's wife saying, after how long it's been, 20 years, are you going to please apologize? We would love to know why you said what you said when the confirmation hearings were going on. And she left this message on her voicemail very early in the morning. And Anita Hill is a professor at Brandeis University, so she gave it to the campus police, who then authenticated or tried to authenticate it through the FBI. So it's obviously become a big deal. It's a big deal because it's one of those kooky things of, wow, how did this happen? What was Justice Thomas's wife thinking in leaving this voicemail for Hill? I mean, of course, didn't you know that was going to surface? Didn't you know that was going to come to light? I guess she didn't think about that. She said she wanted her to just say she was sorry for the allegations that came out at the confirmation hearings back in 1991. All right, so Hill had her own thoughts, and the only thing she would really say is she thought that the call was inappropriate. She, of course, was cornered by a gaggle of reporters on the university, and this is what it sounded like.
I don't have any comments right now.
She doesn't have any comments. Leave me alone. I have no comments. She just says, like I said, she said it was inappropriate, and that was all she would say. Because it was certainly a blast from the past that she did not expect. Now, Virginia Thomas is a longtime conservative activist, of course, and the founder of a new nonprofit group, Liberty Central, and which opposes what she characterized as the leftist tyranny of the Obama administration and congressional Democrats. She was a keynote speaker in Richmond, Virginia, at a state convention billed as the largest Tea Party event ever. Now, she says in a statement, because she was asked, why did you leave that voicemail, that she was just trying to extend an olive branch to Hill. And that was all that phone call was about. But it certainly went a little bit further with the FBI getting involved, and the FBI wouldn't even comment on it. And just to refresh everybody so you know what we're talking about, during his Senate confirmation hearings, Clarence Thomas denied Hill's accusations that he made inappropriate sexual remarks, including references to pornographic movies. He said he didn't talk about X-rated movies while he was at Yale Law School, adding that so many other young people did in the 70s. So the allegations almost derailed his nomination. And then, of course, at the time, it sparked a national debate about sexual harassment on the job. Thomas called the nationally televised hearings a high-tech lynching. Those hearings are never good for anyone, no matter what's said, are they? All right, coming up on the flip side, speaking of going back a couple of years, Valerie Plame talks about what happened when she was outed as a spy. She was recently on a cable television show. We're going to get to that. And Brett Favre in sports.
As gardeners, we can all relate.
What do you do with all of the excess food that you grow?
Freezing or canning may have been the process you've used, but the good folks at Excalibur Dehydrator have a healthy alternative to preserve the fruits of your labor. The Excalibur Dehydrator will help you preserve your fruits and vegetables quickly and easily, so you don't have to worry about premature spoiling. You can also use your Excalibur Dehydrator year-round to make delicious jerky. And the best part? The foods you dehydrate are free from excess additives, salt, and preservatives. And that's something we can all all do without. To learn more and to order your very own Excalibur Dehydrator, visit drying123.com and see how the Excalibur Dehydrator can help you preserve your favorite foods.
Mention coupon code GCN and receive a free book on how to preserve your foods.
Again, that's drying123.com, drying123.com, or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254 today.
Hi, this is Dwayne Daly with Midas Resources, Precious Metals Brokers, and my phone number is 800-686-2237, extension 115. If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then perhaps it's time for a change. You have the opportunity to make a change in November by voting, and the opportunity to make a change in your financial security today by calling me, Dwayne Daly. Get the stability and peace of mind that you deserve with gold and silver, a form of wealth protection for 5,000 years. As the inflation pinch becomes tighter and the dollar continues to devalue, while stocks remain iffy at best, stop the bleeding with precious metals. Metals will let you retain your purchasing power, protect your assets, and stop inflation the day you get in. I have many different ways to accomplish this, from metals for possession to IRA rollovers, tax-free, and everything in between. So if you would like to turn your scrambled nest egg into a souffle, call me, Dwayne Daly, at 800-686-2237, extension 115. 800-686-2237, extension 115. If you are ready for a change, please call Dwayne Daly.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power, regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low, at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, oregacillin physician strength capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
Swinging for the fences with all of you here on America Tonight. All right, certainly we've talked about a lot of different things when it comes to sports, and we squeeze in a little sports shorts here and there. I hope that you're kicking back and watching, if you're a baseball fan, what's happening in the National League Championship Series between the Giants and my Philadelphia Phillies. Oh, it's heartbreaking. But good for the Giants. We're going to get to that in a second. And also the Texas Rangers and the New York Yankees. The Yankees came back. They could have been eliminated in a day game on Wednesday, but now there's a game 6 in Texas. And Brett Favre is pretty quiet about what's happening in his world with some allegations from a former Jets hostess, although she didn't bring the allegations forward. There was a third party that talked about some voicemails and put them out there on a website called Deadspin, and then some pretty nasty photographs that are believed to be the private parts of Brett Favre that he sent this woman. So the NFL is looking into the allegations. Anyway, we're going to get to what he had to say about it in a second here. But first, remember how the nation was captivated, it seemed like forever, by the story of Valerie Plame and Joe Wilson, her husband, who's an ambassador. It turned out she was the spy for the CIA, and ultimately she was outed. I mean, ultimately her name got out there. Oh, Valerie Plame, yes, she's a spy. So then it turned into Scooter Libby. What did he know? What did he say? Was it him? He released the information to the news media, and that got out. And then what happened, and what did Dick Cheney, the vice president at the time, know? And it turned into a trial, as many of you know. And Libby, of course, went to jail for a little while, and then ultimately was pardoned in the wake of that. But that drug on forever and a day. Now there's a movie being made about it, about Valerie Plame and the whole thing that happened. It was actually a pretty interesting conversation. I happened to catch her on, I think it was Wolf Blitzer, The Situation Room, maybe. You know, you flip around so much, you're almost hypnotized between Fox and CNN and wherever else. I'm looking for the guests to see who they have on and what they're saying. So I happened to come across that. And she was there with her husband, and they were kicking it around about what happened and the security of the United States, and Wilson saying that by her name being released, the bottom line is it certainly was not good for the security of this country and for her sources, which I would agree with that, with the sources especially. I mean, I don't care what she was doing for the CIA. If it was some secret shrouded thing and she was, quotes, a spy, and she was talking to operatives of any sort, then the connection to her would be something that would be dangerous to others in other countries, and that could ultimately cut off that pipeline, right? So here's her response when she was talking about that with Wolf Blitzer, as to what exactly happened, and would we know, did this endanger some of the people who were sources?
Well, that's exactly why it was so insidious what happened, because it's not just me and my career, that's one thing, but the entire network of assets with whom I've worked with over the years was compromised, was put into jeopardy, in some cases their lives.
Yeah, their lives. They said that eventually there was something, there was a documentation that was done as to who it affected, and it definitely affected some of the people, some of the sources that trusted her. You know, here's the bottom line. It's interesting, the movie's coming out now, and it was a huge story for, you know, a year, year and a half, but the way things move, the speed of light now, I wonder how many people, I was thinking this, how many people remember the Valerie Plame thing? How many people remember what happened and what Patrick Fitzgerald, who was, of course, prosecuting the case, what went on there and who was being called as witnesses? I think the movie actually could be pretty intriguing. I always liked some of the political movies anyway to see how it's presented, what's the point of view, or if it's just the factual, here's what happened. All right, here's the facts. The Yankees staved off elimination in their game against the Texas Rangers. If you missed it, this is what it sounded like.
It's to Granderson. He swings and he muscles one into right center field. That's falling. It's down. Base hit. Coming around third, heading home, Berkman. He's going to score. The throw to third is offline, off the glove of Young. It goes to the dugout. It's picked up there by the pitcher, Wilson, and he overthrows the plate. And the pitch. Swing. There's a high drive deep down the left field line. That's way back there. That ball is a home run. Nick Swisher with his first RBI of the League Championship Series, with a home run down the left field line, and it is 4-0 Yankees. There's a slider. That ball is hit deep into right center field. That's way back there. That ball is a home run. Back-to-back home runs. Swisher and Cano. 5-0 Yankees.
Right, in the end, they beat the Rangers 7-2. So now the Rangers get that Game 6 at home. It's 3-2 in the AL Championship Series. Manager Joe Girardi talked to his players before they went home the night before and said, don't give up. That's all he pretty much said. CC Sabathia said, you know, it was huge just having to be able to relax and having the manager tell us, don't panic. So he didn't panic. Sabathia pitched well. The Yankees now go to Texas. We'll see what happens in this Game 6. A much different story for the Philadelphia Phillies. Now they're in the situation where their backs are against the wall, as the San Francisco Giants. It was an exciting game. It was it ended in the bottom of the ninth inning, 6-5, the final score. And a couple of things happened here. What happened was that finally the Philly bats got going, but so did San Francisco, and that place went crazy. Juan Uribe's sacrifice fly made things change in the favor of the Giants, and it was just that kind of season. It's just been that kind of season for San Francisco. I think they call it the torture chamber where they play because they've had so many of those last-minute rallies. So now they have a 3-1 lead in the NL Championship Series. One guy who was large in this one was the kid, Buster Posey. 4 hits, 2 RBIs from the rookie. Here's what he said afterwards.
Spot. I don't know how to describe it. I mean, it's got electricity in here, and don't get to win tonight. Guys battled. It's a fun game. Guys believe. I think we believe we're going to get the job done, whether it's, you know, scoring one run and pitching a shutout, or, you know, battling back and you know, scratching out some runs. It's a fun group of guys.
So, again, it's up to Philly. They're sending Roy Halladay to the mound in Game 5 on Thursday night. Man, this is one of those moments. Either they're going to pull through or the Giants, it's their time and their season, and they move forward. Brett Favre would like to move forward from the nightmare that he's stuck in. He didn't really want to talk much about his meeting with the NFL. Here's what he had to say.
That's a league issue that I just have to leave it at that.
It's a league issue. I mean, you know, here's the thing. I've talked to Favre a few times in my career, and the times I talked to him, just a very nice guy. And what's he going to say about this? He's caught in the middle of it. Did he send those suggestive messages and the lewd photos in 2008 to the woman who worked for the Jets? It's not looking good for him. But the league, if they find he did, then I'm sure they'll suspend him for something because that's what would happen since it's a violation of the code of conduct. So that's why he said it's up to the league. It's basically their issue, what they're going to do. And he met with the NFL vice president for security about then advances toward the Jets game MC 2 years ago when he played for New York. And he's saying that this is not weighing on him, that he's just concerned about what's next, and he's focused on the game, and that is Green Bay. All right, hang with us. We're going to kick the can down the road.
Is Sam Andy. Sam Andy Foods is life insurance in a can. Life insurance you can eat. Sam Andy Foods has been serving loyal customers worldwide for over 50 years. Why so long? Simple. Sam Andy Foods have perfected the taste and quality of low moisture foods. Foods that last 15 to 25 years. And that's made us an industry leader among families, sportsmen, outdoorsmen, churches, schools, people living in remote areas, U.S. troops in wartime, and many others. Sam Andy is America's leading supplier of over 100 high-quality, low-moisture products, and everything you need to survive in any emergency. Visit SamAndy.com today for your free full-color catalog and free trial subscription to the Survival Times newsletter. That's SamAndy.com. Just like it sounds, SamAndy.com. Or call toll-free 1-888-331-0358. Your one-stop shop for everything your family needs to prepare for any emergency. Sam Andy Foods. Life insurance in a can.
10 years. Genesis. A decade of talk. Genesis. Great talk radio is here on the Genesis Communications Network.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods. And after filing one piece of paper, The collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With zero debt in 90 days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days. Guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
You may not be thinking of lead and brass as precious metal investments. And you may not be thinking about ammo when we say battery station, but you should, because Battery Station has a large inventory of the most popular calibers. Just go to BatteryStation.com and click on ammunition. There, you'll see where Second Amendment patriots invest in precious metals for .380, 9mm, 40 cal, 45 ACP, 38 Special, 357 Magnum, 223, 30-06, 308, and more. Be sure to look for the October GCN specials in blue boxes, too, at BatteryStation.com. We shoot what we sell, and all Battery Station ammo is all factory, no reloads. You'll enjoy great customer service, great prices, and fast shipping. Plus, all orders over $30 will receive a free patriotic flag. So invest in gold and silver, but don't forget about investing in lead and brass, too, at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799 or go to BatteryStation.com today.
Are you concerned about dropping or losing your cell phone? Are you tired of dealing with cell phone clips or holsters? Then this message is for you. Introducing Clip Hanger, the best and most affordable cell phone holder on the market, made to keep your phone secure and accessible. Clip Hanger works with all cell phones, including the iPhone, Droid, BlackBerry, and even iPods. When attached to a pant loop, Clip Hanger won't poke when you sit down. And for women, Clip Hanger easily attaches to any purse strap. Carry a phone in your pocket? Simply use one finger to pull it out with Clip Hanger. Clip Hanger is thin and simple, has a one-year warranty against breakage, and prices start at only $10.95. With your Clip Hanger purchase, we'll also send you the auto hook for your car and ship everything to you absolutely free. See the amazing Clip Hanger and the Clip Hanger light with its built-in LED flashlight at myphoneclip.com. To order, call 801-719-2680. That's 801-719-2680. Or visit myphoneclip.com to get your Clip Hanger today.
Enough to get a glimpse of this. And if you haven't done it, run outside right now. And the reason why is because the Hartley 2 comet should be visible to some of you with the naked eye. It makes its closest pass to the Earth tonight. And what is the comet? Well, of course, it's a mountain-sized ball of ice and dust. And you can't see it. It's usually too faint to be seen without a telescope. It was discovered back in the mid-80s by somebody in Australia, Malcolm Hartley. That's why they call it the Hartley 2 comet. It'd be pretty cool to have a comet named after you, wouldn't it? So this comet has come closer to Earth in the past week, and it's passed a very brilliant star called Capella, and it's become visible above the northeast horizon. It's just kind of a, if you look outside right now, pull your car over to the side of the road or look outside your window, run outside the front door. If you see a fuzzy patch, that's what you're looking at. You're looking at a comet. How cool is that? And you can tell it kind of looks like a smeared star. It's a smeared star in the sky in the northeast. So because of the darker skies that are away from cities, if you're out in some of the burbs somewhere and there's more of an open area, that probably would give you the best view. Because, of course, with the city, you have all the lights, and that kind of dulls all of it. But pretty neat that you're able to do that. And this is an old, old comet. So I wish I was in the Northeast, because if I was, I would run outside and do it. I think that's the neatest thing to me, when you can actually identify what you're looking at. I mean, half the time I think I'm seeing a star and then it suddenly moves. I realize it's not a UFO, but it's just a plane. And somehow I really couldn't tell what I was looking at. But then it became crystal clear as it went above my head. I've seen that happen a couple of times where, you know what I'm talking about. It seems like it's slow, so it doesn't really look like a plane from far away. All right, other things in O&E. I mentioned this at the top. This is sad. Whooping cough has claimed 10 young infants in California. They're saying it's the worst outbreak in 60 years. Boy, that would give parents of newborns pause, wouldn't it? Because of all the things that can happen, you think of a tiny, tiny baby, the fragility of this tiny baby. And since the beginning of the year, almost 6,000 confirmed and suspected cases of whooping cough have been reported in California. But all the deaths happened in infants that were under the age of 3 months. So 9 were younger than 8 weeks old, which means they were too young to have been vaccinated against it, because it's a very contagious bacterial kind of disease. You wouldn't know. It's preventable because of the vaccine for it, to protect people coming in contact with it, you know, with infants, and to protect the infants. But here's the thing. It's that vaccine deal. Some parents don't vaccinate their children. And then in other cases, some kids who have been vaccinated and adults might have lost that immunity because, hey, the vaccine wears off. Of course, it doesn't protect you for life. So you're probably not even thinking about it. Are you thinking about whooping cough? I have to say, no. But in California, you should be thinking about it, because that's very real. It could be a grandmother, a grandfather, a cousin, a sibling, whoever. Somehow they get it. It's kind of a cocoon thing. And the newborn is like a petri dish and can soak it up. So if they soak it up, then it can obviously have disastrous results. And what's, it's like anything. You don't know what it is. You know, we all run to WebMD and try to figure out why we have this tiny little mark on our face, or why we can't seem to catch our breath, or whatever it is. But the initial symptoms are kind of similar to a cold. A week or two later, you get this violent cough. So once you get that violent cough, then you know that you have it. So if people could at least catch that in themselves, I guess they could prevent themselves from going around young children, you hope. But they're trying to tell everyone in California, if you haven't had the shot, the vaccination, or it's been a long time, get the vaccination, please. I mean, 10 is significant. The highest in 60 years, yeah, I'd say that's just a little bit, that's a little bit too close for comfort, I think, for anybody who has really, really small newborn children. Don't ask, don't tell. The push-pull over what's going to happen there, I've said it before, we know this. Hey, it's going to go up to the Supreme Court. That's inevitable. That's a given. But in the meantime, how do you deal with what's happened in the court system? So the court makes don't ask the rule again. I mean, now it's like days later, weeks later. This has been about a week, maybe. Now they're doing it again. So an appeals court delayed the injunction against don't ask, don't tell. And it's just crazy in the sense that if you're somebody caught in the middle of this, what do they do? So you've got this federal appeals panel that blocked it, blocked the lower court ruling that stopped the enforcement of it. And this ruling by a three-judge panel, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, gives the government the delay they needed in challenging the federal judge's order last week to stop enforcing the policy around the world. So the order is what we would call stayed temporarily, because they're trying to, they say, consider fully the issues presented. But you already had gay and lesbian service members who went and re-enlisted. And now you've got the ACLU and the Human Rights Campaign who say they're upset They call for an end to Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I mean, this is the same thing we keep saying, this bizarre cycle. It is a very weird position that they're putting the military in, too. Because up to this latest day, there were people who re-enlisted that were banned, that got discharged or whatever. And now they're back in this again. So, in the court documents, all right, this is the upshot. The administration argued that Don't Ask, Don't Tell should remain intact for now because it abruptly risks causing significant, ready for this? These aren't my words. This is the legal jargon. It causes significant immediate harm to the military and its efforts to be prepared to implement an orderly repeal of the statute. Yeah, cut the crap. What it means is they don't have time to let everybody know, ooh, okay, just so you know, here's what's going on. So this, now you can be gay, you can be openly gay, and we have to make sure because we took surveys of everyone in the military. It's a really odd deal because you have the president who pushed for this, which was Bill Clinton, who says that he was kind of had this foisted on him by Colin Powell, who thought it was such a good idea, and he agreed with him. He was kind of walked into it, is what he insinuated. So for 17 years, you have Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and that's what people live by. For the most part, it was okay until people outed themselves or were outed or something happened and or it was challenged. And then you had some good soldiers, frankly, who lost their jobs, who got into trouble because of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And now you're just kind of exasperating the situation, especially since what people don't realize in this week time period, I guess it's been about a week, maybe a week and a half, you actually had people who re-enlisted. They re-enlisted, saying that the reason they're doing it is because that was lifted. So now it's obvious that they are gay, and they're telling the recruiters that they've been recruited. So now what do you do? Just pretend you didn't hear that? That's kind of what they said at the Pentagon, although officially they won't cop to that. Just to not ask. It's okay. Recruit somebody who's gay. We need soldiers. Recruit them. Just don't mention it. Just don't say anything about it. Great. So more of the same. That's what it is. It's more of the same. All right, we move from that odds and ends, because there's no end here. That hasn't ended yet. And we talked about whooping cough, obviously. And then we talked about politics in the beginning, the race to November 2nd, and how by this time, we will have, in 2 weeks, we will have analyzed all of it. And did we have the big turnout that was expected? Was there some extreme throwovers of incumbents? When I say extreme, like the vote really was a landslide in one direction? Or does everything kind of stay status quo? I can tell you this. If I were going to go out onto a limb, a big fat limb, I would say it's not going to be status quo. There's going to be some changes. Absolutely. I cannot believe that some of the incumbents who are close, at least in the polls, to losing their seats are going to hang on to them. I think that there'll be some flips. So there's going to be a lot of newbies, people who have not been in the political game. And I was talking to somebody on the Hill today, and they said, you know, you think that's a good thing, but look at what it takes to get a measure through. Look at what happens when you have these arguments over whatever it is, whether it's illegal immigration, health care, I mean, pick a poison. And look how long there's all this stonewalling and everything else. So imagine now you have to teach someone the system, but you know what? I don't care. Don't teach them the system. Why don't we just have fresh voices who come to the table with some different opinions and let them jump in the deep end. Because obviously, if you're going to jump into the game of politics, you have to know somewhere in the recesses of your mind that you're going to have to learn how to swim and create some liaisons that will help to change what's happening with the political machine, right? These people aren't that dumb, I hope. 800-259-5791, that's the number if you want to jingle it, you want to talk about any of the stuff that I mentioned, or something else that's caught your attention. Coming up, though, we can count.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LightBreeze wind generator can start charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
In confusing times, would a simple outlook on health and beauty make sense?
If you're tired of taking dry vitamins without noticing any results, then the Bogdana Nutritional Formula is for you. Easy to take and absorb.
The absorption of liquids is 98% in comparison to only 20% for dry vitamins.
For the past 25 years, Bogdana Rejuvenating Nutritional Formula has been proven to get results.
Detox, nourish, and rejuvenate your body with this one-of-a-kind supplement that contains 150 natural and organic nutrients.
And a one-month supply is less than a dollar per day.
Take charge of your health and feel the difference with Bogdana Liquid Vitamins or your money back.
Go to Bogdana LiquidVitamins.com or call 1-800-234-5608.
That's Bogdana LiquidVitamins.com or call 800-234-5608. Give your body what it needs and it will perform miracles in return.
For inner health and outer beauty, feel the difference with Bogdana Liquid Vitamins today.
So did you know, America, that in the last 2 decades, our prison population has quadrupled? During that same period, state spending on correction facilities, ready for this? This is a scary number, increased 127%. Education spending, only 21%. What's the problem? I already said this. You know what it's costing us? $60 billion a year. This is some of the research that's out there and some of what Bob Kaplan talks about right off the bat in his prologue in his book, Desert Pawns, Breaking the Cycle of Reincarceration. It's a problem. And then recidivism, don't even get me started there. You know, that's what I always scream about here on these airwaves. Bob, thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
Great to be here.
First of all, let's talk about what I just said. I was mentioning those statistics. And, of course, the biggest problem is if when somebody gets out of prison, they're unskilled. They're a lot of times a violent person. What do you think is going to happen when they get released in that kind of a circumstance? It's not pretty, is it?
That's the problem. And what we have, and we talk in the book about private prisons predominantly, but it's a problem across the spectrum, both state and federal prisons. You have a lack of rehabilitation. And if you ask officials in the prisons, whose job is it to educate inmates, they'll tell you it's not our job. Well, whose job is it? And so we send these people out, and what the private prisons do, and your audience will probably be surprised, is they take an inmate who's being released, there's no discharge planning, and they take that person in a van and they drop them in a metro area late at night. They cut them a check for $100. They say, see your parole officer, you're on your own. And that's it. And how long do these guys last on the streets? Not long. They don't have housing. They don't have food. They don't have transportation. They don't have ID. They don't have a job. They don't have job training. They don't have substance abuse support. They don't have medical. They have zero. So that's the point. The private prisons, to be optimally efficient, want to operate at 95%. Their interests are interests of corporations. They're not society's interests. So education and training are not seen as cost-effective. That's the problem.
So tell us the answer. We got to solve this riddle fast. How do
Absolutely.
We solve it?
Absolutely. And we can do it without taxing our citizens anymore, because $60 billion a year in costs is unsustainable. It's what Mike Bloomberg calls turnstile justice. What we did, we looked at a prison in the Southwest, and my co-author, Gerard Lemoyne, is an ex-cop-turned-teacher. He went into the prison, and against the wishes of administration, he started pushing the envelope, and he brought in volunteer outside educators to educate the inmates, and things turned around. And what you saw with aggressive education is that inmate-on-inmate and inmate-on-staff violence plummeted. The number of guys getting their GEDs soared. Lemoyne was a game changer for that prison. Within 6 months of his working in the program, the number of guys getting their GEDs exceeded that in the previous 6 years. So they had a reawakening of self-esteem. And what you saw in the classes is that rivals, Nazis, were sitting down cooperating with Muslims because the barriers receded. What they did was they brought in outside educators, and the inmates started bringing their own work to be critiqued. And so Lemoyne and Professor John Burke, who were the thrust of the program, decided to publish a collection of inmate works, an inmate anthology, but the inmates had to adhere to strict rules. They couldn't be in segregation. They couldn't be written up for infractions. They had to attend educational classes. And these guys turned around. So, study after study shows us that when inmates attend an educational program, these people are less likely to return to prison. Now, the problem we have now is that 50% of inner-city youth aren't graduating from high school, and we know that 7 to 8 times these kids are 7 to 8 times more likely to go to prison. So we've got a terrific problem on our hands.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. And you pointed out a lot of other programs that are working, work-related programs. Like you talked about the California Prison Authority, but the Marine Technology Training Center and what happened there and how they lost funding and got funding back again and what happens when they go through this incredibly rigorous education thing that they do, because it's underwater jobs you're talking about.
Right.
But guess what? They get jobs. And I love what you say in the book, because you really give the facts and figures. This is really about numbers and results. And you say just this one program, that the return on investment is worth the effort, because the training costs for the inmates per inmate, $3,500 a year compared to $47,000 for housing an inmate in California. And only 6% of the people that graduate from that program, that underwater academy, if you will, are subsequently arrested. That's amazing. And you have a lot of other stories like that, don't you?
Yeah, that's an incredible program. And then, of course, they have the Carpentry Apprenticeship Program, and they have one now for women at Chino, where they get the gals qualified, and they're able to do roofing and framing and concrete pouring and everything else, and they get their union dues paid. There are some terrific programs. And what you see, Kate, as you know, when you look through the book, the successful programs tend to be faith-based grassroots programs. And a lot of these programs don't get government money. And the faith-based component is actually important, because these people have so many challenges that there's got to be some glue to hold them together. And that is often the glue, the faith-based aspect. And that you see also in Exodus, a transitional community in Harlem. That's a faith-based program. And Focus in Tennessee, in Nashville, that's a faith-based program. So those are the most successful programs. And what we need is we need a public-private partnership where the prisons will partner with university educators who will go in voluntarily, cost the prison nothing, will go in, and you need the community-based advocacy groups, the 501c3s, the church groups, to do their part. So, you know, teach the guys how to dress, how to act, what to do on the job site. All of these things that, you know, when someone comes out of prison, they need it all. They start from scratch. And unless we provide that, these people are going to be right back in the system, and it's going to cost you and I.
Yeah, and so really, a lot of this would tie in with volunteerism, where you could see the tangible results, because if people did the things that you're saying, teach the dress, teach some skills, it actually benefits your own community, because then where all of us are getting these alarm systems, we're scared to death, we're looking at all the reports in the paper, we're worried about being burglarized or having something else happen to a business or whatever it might be, the crime numbers. And this is what we're talking about. Perhaps we'd see them dramatically go down, don't you think?
Absolutely. You know, the prison that we talk about was a private prison, notorious private prison in the Southwest. Most of the guys were young murderers. A lot of these guys go in at age 20. You know, they're gang-related killings. And these guys turned around. And a lot of them underwent religious conversions. You have to combine a number of programs. We talk about brain gym, where they're taught repetitive exercises to help them facilitate learning. And you've got to really throw it all at them. But the incredible thing, as you know from reading the book, is that this was fought tooth and nail by the prison. They weren't cooperating, and the other teachers weren't cooperating because they were showing up. You know, if you have two classrooms in a prison, your audience has to understand, in private prisons, when an inmate goes into class, they sign in. For instance, state of California inmates are transferred to Arizona by state contract with the California Department of Corrections, contracts with a private prison corporation because there's massive overcrowding in California. The prisons have to reduce numbers by 40,000. It's mandated by the courts. So they just built a new prison out in the desert called La Palma that houses 3,300 California inmates. When these inmates go into class, they sign in, bingo, they get paid at the end of the month for being educated, quote-unquote educated. They get about $18 average a month. The prison also gets paid. The problem is that's where everything ends. Once they sign in, all bets are off because the prison wants and encourages the inmates to go to class, but they don't want them to get GEDs because once they get GEDs, they don't attend class.
Yeah.
You see? So yeah. What works for private corporations doesn't work for us.
Right.
That's the problem.
Absolutely. All right, interesting stuff. I mean, we're just peeling back a little bit of the layers here. Bob Kaplan, thanks so much for shedding some light and joining us on America Tonight.
Please have people look at Amazon.com for the book Desert Pawns.
All right, it's a great read, too. Thanks, Bob. Interesting enough, you know, he was talking about 50% of the high school kids who don't finish high school and what happens to them. We're going to talk about a great program to help those kids on Monday. It's called One Heart Project. Wait till you hear about that one. Odds and Ends next.